Hey, this is WVLP 103.1 FM. This is Porter County Buzz. One of your hosts, Greg Sims. One of the other hosts, Andy Bozick, is on a hiatus tonight. But we're happy to have Harold Dietrich, who is a member of the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, but he is not in the Valparaiso chapter. He is in the Max and Cookie, if I'm saying that correctly, chapter.
Yes, that's good.
And that is in, a lot of people may know that as by Culver, where the military academy is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Greg. And I appreciate talking about Odd Fellows and some of the things we have coming up. So.
Well, I guess we had Louis Ketchum on a while back, about a year ago, I'd say. And so some of the listeners may have heard about that, but in a nutshell, explain again, what does it mean to be a member of the International Order of Odd, Independent, I keep saying international, Independent Order of Odd Fellows?
Yeah, and the Odd Fellows is a group of men and women that are dedicating to serving the public. And so we help widows, orphans, and the dead, basically, is our charter. But what we really do is help people in the community. Mm-hmm. And we do fundraisers, and we give funds to organizations like Pack a Backpack and Meals on Wheels, and help with things that enable people in the community to live, you know, better lives.
And I know Valparaiso is celebrating its 175th year existing in Valparaiso. You guys have been around quite a while, too, in Max and Cookie, right?
Yeah, I think it's at least 150 years, and maybe a little bit more than that. But the idea is those lodges were built, you know, by people in the community a long time ago, and they're still going strong.
Yeah, see, that's good. And you've mentioned some fundraisers and stuff. What have been some? Well, you have a pancake breakfast once in a while, right?
There's four times a year at the Max and Cookie Lodge. We have a biscuits and gravy and sausage and pancakes breakfast. And there's a hearty meal. And people come every year and go to those. And no one leaves hungry. They're full plates of food. Mm-hmm. And the donations, that's what funds our lodge for the year, are those four events.
And for those that may never have been there, what's kind of a nice thing is you have breakfast at the lodge, donate to a good cause, and then they can go to Bailey's on their way home and get some good bargains.
Yeah, it's a nice drive in the country from Porter County, and like you said, stops along the way.
Yeah.
We also have our groups.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a encampment is our next level of Odd Fellows, and on June 17th, we're having a cruise, which if you have a car, a motorcycle, a truck. It's open to all types of vehicles. And it's a fun event because we have the five stops. The starting stop, we have rise and roll donuts, coffee and water. Mm-hmm. And then the Historical Society in Rochester, the Potawatomi Park in Tippecanoe, the Tyner Odd Fellows Lodge in Tyner. And then we meet at the Wythogan Park in Knox. For a free picnic. And the event is a five stops. We have poker cards awarded at each stop. And they actually play kind of a poker run for prizes.
And just to explain to some people how a poker run.
Special gifts, mm-hmm. Special competitions along the way. One of the things last year we had 1960s sunglasses, the round ones, John Lennon type.
Yeah.
And we had to pass those out to the whole group, and we got a photograph of everyone that did the cruise last year in 1960 sunglasses in front of their car. So it worked out really nice.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm sure that. I know they all enjoyed that. And how much is it to enter?
And this year it's a $5 entry fee per vehicle. And you can have as many people as you want in the vehicle. You know, it could be a motorcycle or a car or a station wagon, whatever, and a truck. And then that gets you those token gifts along the way, but also a chance to win the a $50 gift card and an Odd Fellows trophy. Let's call it a significant or insignificant trophy. It's kind of a floating skull crystal ball. So it's kind of a neat thing to have.
Oh, that's cool. So for $5, they enter this unique run with other cars and motorcycles and see the part of the country, part of Indiana. And then at the end, they come together at a free picnic, hamburgers, hot dogs, and, you know, some non-alcoholic beverages. We've got to say that. And then there's even, if I remember correctly, there's going to be some kind of entertainment at the picnic as well, right? Is it a motivational speaker and a humorist or something?
Yeah, he's a gentleman that kind of was given kind of a short run on life. His arms and his legs are a little shorter. He's handicapped. He's in a chair. But when he speaks, he really is just a riot to listen to his view of the world. And kind of a positive twist on effects. It's really neat to listen to. He just pulls the crowd in, and everybody is belly laughing at the end of his presentation. It's a great time.
Wow. So that whole thing sounds very impressive. For $5, they're getting all that entertainment and the possibility of winning some prizes. And I think one of the things you said, too, was how many bugs are on your windshield at the end, and you count that up, and somebody wins something for that.
Yeah, some bug and tar remover and a microfiber rag. So, again, we have fun doing it because everyone wants to count the bugs on their machine, so it's kind of neat. It goes over.
And do you clean it for them as well? Is that part of the prize?
No, we just give them the prize and let them do their own thing. I'm sure some of those vehicles never had the bugs cleaned. But it's all in fun.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So it starts at 9 a.m., and we're talking June 17th. Do they need to how do they sign up or register for it?
And the registration's on site that day. And so, it's the weekend of Father's Day, but this is the Saturday. So we're hoping a lot of, families and people come out. Mm-hmm. And, it starts with Rise and Roll Donuts, coffee and water, and a blessing of the vehicles by a chaplain. And then we'll get the ride started. And it's not a speed thing by any means. It's more a cruise where you enjoy yourself. Each of the stops, you get your poker cards, you assemble your hand, and then we play the game at the picnic. But what a neat event, for sharing some time with someone that you like, or even by yourself. So whatever works out.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, you don't need a classic car to go. It could be any vehicle.
Yeah, we had some classic pickup trucks with about a fourth of the fenders left last year. Huh. And it was a high schooler just really proud of his vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then we had sports cars and Audis and Mustangs and different things. But the idea is to have fun. It doesn't matter what you have. It's kind of just being with the group and enjoying yourself.
And meeting some new people and enjoying the day. And hopefully it'll be a nice sunny day. And people, I start out with Rise and Roll Donuts. You can't beat that at all. And we've got one in Valpo here that is very popular. So people are very familiar with that that donut brand.
Yeah.
That's cool. And again, it's the Odd Fellows, sponsored by the Encampment, which is an offshoot of the Odd Fellows. And it's going to start on Saturday, June 17th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, because you guys are an hour ahead of us. And it's going to be at the Max and Cucky Odd Fellows Lodge start, which is 15033 18B Road in Culver. And then you end up going to Rochester, Tippecanoe, Tyner, and then end up in Knox.
Yeah, and the Odd Fellows, really, we'd like to meet people. We'd like people to meet us. Mm-hmm. And being an Odd Fellow means you're that different person that cares about others, to help others that are in need. And that's what's odd, is that we'd like to help other people. But the same token, we'd like to meet you and other people in our communities.
And it's a male and female. It's multi-gender organization, right?
Right. Yeah. And our members, our brothers and sisters, and then at encampment, we're patriarchs and matriarchs. So it's whatever you are doesn't matter to us.
Okay.
Everyone is treated equal.
Yeah, and it's just people helping people, and I guess that's what's kind of odd nowadays.
Yeah, that figure was odd 200 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's still odd today because a lot of people go through their lives and they may see people in need, but don't stop, bend down and helping hand.
Right.
And we are a group that does that.
And you can help out as much or as little as you feel comfortable, I imagine, too, right? I mean, it's a somebody, because like with anything, sometimes people need to kind of, it takes a little time to get used to that or with certain, what do you want to call it, the functions, some people might be a little bit more comfortable. Because I know the Valpo Odd Fellows, they clean roads and they give, that last Saturday, they gave away a bunch of bicycles at, where was it, the Living Hope Church, right off of Calumet, across from Old Fairgrounds Park. They gave away 25 bicycles. They fixed 7 or 8, and I know they've got a few more to give out because some kids needed some bikes that they didn't have the right size. So those kids will get taken care of this week, and it's just kind of a neat thing that the organizations do for the people in whatever community they're part of. And so it's kind of neat.
And
that,
Greg,
yeah.
You had a story about a person that received the bike.
Yeah, there was a gentleman came and picked one up for somebody, and the young boy rode about 30 miles over the weekend, and he was extremely excited about riding a bicycle. And then we had another person that came by, and their somebody had just had a birthday party in their family, and they couldn't afford anything, so they got a very nice bike. Now they're all used bikes, but some of them are shockingly like it's like they're brand new. Sometimes people get a bike and they never ride them, or they outgrow them and they just sit back. But so we're able to give a really nice birthday gift to one group, and another group got some nice transportation. And there was another family that came up, and the kid's playing football, the young boy's playing football, and he was having a hard time getting to practice. So now this bicycle will be able to get this young boy to football practice. And those are just a few of the stories. There's a whole bunch more out there, and it is kind of neat and satisfying to see people having some fun and getting out and just being a part of something positive. So yeah, it's kind of neat. But that's part of what the Odd Fellows do. They get out in the communities and they help people, and they enjoy it. Yeah, so if anyone's interested in that, there's chapters, Valparaiso, and there's chapters in Rochester and Tyner and Culver or Maxinkuckee, which I always have a hard time. Isn't that the name of a lake out there? Is that why it's Maxinkuckee?
Yeah, the big lake in Culver is Lake Maxinkuckee.
Okay.
And but that's all good. And there's also ones across Indiana. There's other chapters. So just get involved in, your community. There's probably one around you somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Check it out on the websites and go from there. So what other, now you're also a part of, you're a multifaceted individual here. You're part of the Moose as well, if I remember correctly, and something else too.
Yeah, American Legion and Master Gardeners is my next biggest activity at the moment. So.
See, now the Master Gardeners, is that part of Purdue University?
Yeah, it's a group sponsored by Purdue to disseminate gardening information to the general public. So what we want to do is have people recognize us as the go-to people. If you have a plant in your yard that's not doing well, look for a Master Gardener and or Purdue Extension agent or local office, and we can help with plant tips, how to grow, how to fertilize, how to prune trees, what sprays to use, and what species of plant might fit best in your yard. But we do offer lots of information, but a lot of times I have people take a picture of a disease or a branch or a bug on their tree, and then I use the Purdue Extension resources find out what it is and what's the best treatment, and I get back to them. And so we're involved in the community, but we do home shows. We're going to a cranberry harvest this year as a group activity. We typically do something once a month. We're going out to a lavender farm near LaPorte in June. And so there's lots of activities, lots of things to get involved in. And it's all about plants. You go through a course that takes about 10 weeks of like 2 or 3 hour sessions. You take a test. And then once you're master gardener, you need to do 30 volunteer hours in the community.
Wow.
So like I help other people trim their apple trees, because that's what I'm good at. I have 1,000 apple trees myself. And so I help other people renovate their trees. But we have a good time, and that group is really like taking off. A lot of people want to belong to groups, mm-hmm. and it's a fun group to belong to, and we're doing lots of good things.
Wow. Had I known that, I would have had you come by my house. I got some fruit trees in the yard that I'm sure you're going to look at and go, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah, and that's what we like to do. I renovated some trees for a past sheriff a week ago, and the thing was, he didn't know how to do it. So I helped him prune his trees, but I told him why and how to do it. Next year, he'll be able to do his own, and I helped him write out a spray program to make it easy, because that's really difficult, fruit trees, when to spray and what to do, but I can help simplify it so they can do it themselves in the future. And then I get volunteer hours for helping them out, so I don't get paid. But I get to move up in the Master Gardener organization.
So. Well, gee, you ever feel the need to have some volunteer hours? I've got, I can get your help for a couple hours easy. Can I apple trees, pear trees? I've got a couple fig trees, and it's kind of cool. But now, Explain this cranberry harvest. Do we have cranberries in Indiana?
Well, I just put some in, but mine won't be ready for a couple of years. But there's some close to us. The Blueberry Farms in Michigan is actually where we're going to go as a trip. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or so from here, near South Haven, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And they have basically a cranberry bog that they flood in the fall. So the cranberries... you get to stomp on them, and the berries kind of float up to the top, and then you harvest them with nets on the top of the water, because cranberries float.
But,
and then there's...
Wow.
So usually you think of it as being in New England or, northern climates, but we actually have them fairly close to us. And that trip's coming up October 12th.
But now, okay, so they flood. How do they contain the water in these fields? Is it like walls around the field or something?
Exactly. It's like the, I don't know if you've ever been through Porter County or Kankakee Marsh, where they have the embankment, and then they pump the water into that area and work on the blueberries. They leave them flooded over the winter. So they flood the fields to harvest them in the fall. They leave them flooded for the winter, then they drain them in the spring, because a cranberry bush roots can't be underwater. It has to be in a dry, acid-type soil. So it's kind of a neat thing, because it's something different.
Wow. So when you go out there and you said stomp it, what do you literally like stomp on these cranberries and then they release up to the top?
Yep, and they have rakes. You want to just dislodge them from the bush so they float up. And there's you can use rakes, or you can just walk through and disturb them, and they become disconnected and float to the top. We'll know more once we do it.
You've never done it before?
Well, this is the first time for our group this October, but I talked to the owner at length and got the meeting trip set up for our group to do it. And because I didn't know what happened in the Midwest, I thought it was Bob Newhart in New England type stuff. Not. It's going to be us funny people out in the bog and enjoying ourselves this year.
Wow.
Something different.
So now when you go out there, I mean, how long does it take to do that? I mean, would you be harvesting the whole crop, or do you call it? I guess you call it a crop, do you?
Yeah, and we're not the harvesters. We're kind of like the guests. We're going on Thursday before the Saturday big. They have a big event where there's thousands of people go to these bogs. But we're going to go with a group of 50 or so, and do it to entertain ourselves and learn more. And master gardeners are inquisitive and like to learn, and that's why we're going. So we're not going to do the work for 8 hours. We're going to do it for 10 minutes.
And then maybe have some cranberry wine afterwards.
Yeah. Well, they have some cranberry products from the previous year's harvest that they said they have a store. And, there's some neat things to buy fresh cranberries, of course, but to enjoy some of the products that they make as well.
Wow. That is kind of fascinating. Now, you mentioned blueberries. They don't harvest blueberries the same way, do they?
No, blueberries grow on bushes, and they're, in June and July.
Okay.
And they're, you actually pick blueberries one at a time, or you can use shakers and shake the whole bush with machines, but it's pretty enjoyable just to go out and pick blueberries because they're so good. And, you can eat a few as you pick or whatever, but
sure.
when they're fresh, they're really nuts, and they freeze really good. So you can have them year round. You can buy them, by the box, 10 or 20 pounds, 5 pounds, whatever. But if you pick your own, they're cost a little less, but you get to enjoy the plants and walking through the bog and, the area that they grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat to find the biggest berry, that always have the competition between, we take the grandkids and daughters and make it a fun day.
Yeah. And that does sound pretty cool. Well, what else?
Yeah, and that's a little closer. That's like in La Paz and Plymouth and Walkerton. And then the blueberry farms, of course, across the border near South Haven, Michigan, as well.
Okay. So now what?
And DeMont.
Oh, DeMont has some too? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has a lot of blueberries so in our area.
Yeah, that's pretty close. So you do cranberries, you do blueberries. What else do you guys do? You do pumpkins or grapes?
Oh, yeah. I have pumpkins, grapes, rhubarb. Asparagus the last few weeks has been producing, so it's a good time to get asparagus at the farmers markets right now.
Wow.
And when it's fresh, it's really, really nice.
So what, wow. And then apples, that would be the fall.
Yeah, I have 1,000 apple trees of 28 varieties.
Oh my God.
And so my apples start to get ripe about August, and I have apples through about the 1st of November. And so each variety ripens at a different time. So like my Fujis look really nice early in September, but they're not ripe until October. So if you bite one, they're still kind of have a lot of carbohydrates, not a lot of sugars. But if you wait, they sugar up and they taste really nice. So it's nice to know what dates the apples become ripe, so you pick them and can enjoy them at the right taste.
Wow. Now, how many acres do you have with all these apple trees?
I have 10 acres that I use, and about 5 acres are in trees.
Oh, so okay.
Mine is kind of like what they call a high-density orchard, so no tree is over 7 feet tall, so I don't need ladders.
Wow.
And they're on dwarf trees, so they have fruit from ground level up to that 7 feet tall. They have apples all along the way. So they're easy for people to pick because you don't have to climb. And we use 4 foot sticks with cut out plastic milk containers to pick apples, so the kids can really have a fun time doing it as well.
Now, how many years did it take you to develop that little orchard?
Many.
Okay.
I buy the trees. They're about the diameter of a pencil, and they're about 5 foot tall, and I cut 2 or 3 feet away.
Hmm.
8 years for a tree to mature enough to have fruit. And so I'm at the end of that journey. I have at least half of my orchard is producing apples at this time. I started about 6 years ago. So.
Oh, wow. So is this, so for people that are listening in Valpo, they could easily go out and get an apple tree, put it in their yard, and I mean, or do you have to have two of them, or can one bear fruit?
Yeah, and some are self-pollinating, but most need two trees to pollinate, and you may need a different species, so that you different variety. And there's charts that tell you which varieties can pollinate other varieties. So there's kind of some science involved. And there are some trees you can graft on branches from different trees and have a self-pollinating tree.
Wow.
So there's a lot involved before you get to the part where you pick the apple.
I'll be darned. And where is the best place to buy trees?
And, I found the box stores, not to talk bad about any one of them, have trees. And they may not be shaped as nice, and they may take a lot of work yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to nurseries, so there's several nurseries in our area.
Okay.
You can see that we do have resources we can use to get those.
Yeah. So nurse, go to a nice nursery, get some apple trees, plant them. Does it matter what time of year? Can people go out and plant them now? And doesn't
right. The nurseries have potted trees
mm-hmm.
that are able to be planted anytime. If you have bare root trees, if you buy 100 at a time, they come bare rooted and they're in the refrigerator, and you actually have to take them out of cold storage and plant them in a rather short period of time.
Oh.
But the trees you get at the nursery are in pots. They're able to be planted all summer long. You just have to water them,
mm-hmm.
Work with fertilizer, make sure you have the right pH, and maybe test your soil before you plant them to make sure everything's lined up and they're going to grow in that spot. And, of course, they have to be in full sun at least 3/4 of the day, that you don't want them unshaded. Otherwise, the fruit will never really ripen to become sweet.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of, if you have a sunny spot and you like fruit, it's a great thing to grow your own.
Now, what other fruits grow in our area that are really good? I mean, apples and pears, we know. What about like plums or peaches?
Yeah, and this year the peaches had a rather quick freeze in December. So about 90% of our peach crop in our area will not have fruit. A lot of the trees are only going to have half a dozen to a dozen peaches, where they normally would have, 50 to 100.
Wow.
Because of that quick freeze in December, it ruined our peach crop for 2023. And that those trees that they get to grow this year, they may be healthier. They didn't have fruit this year. They're going to store up some carbohydrates, and they could produce better fruit next year. But we still need the weather to cooperate to have good fruit. Now, I have 28 varieties of apples. I have some apples that had bloomed, but it was too cold for the bees to pollinate the trees at the time they were ready to be pollinated. So I have some fruit trees that have no fruit this year because the cold weather spells. We had warm weather, and then we had cold weather.
Yeah.
And that affects the trees. And the peaches, unluckily this year, a lot of them won't have any fruit.
Wow.
And plums, can be good in our area. And there you need to spray, apples and plums. And sometimes you can't be organic and save the trees in order to have fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be semi-organic by using some sprays that are, nicer to the tree environment, like dormant oils and copper sprays and neem oil. And, some of the ones that we can be more selective. We don't always have to use harsh chemicals to get results.
Now, is all that fertilizer and the pesticide stuff and the sprays, is that very expensive, or where do you even get that stuff?
Yeah, and it's all fairly common. And, the fertilized tree is important to have fruit production as well. So that's a very good thing that you mentioned. We have garden centers and all that, but, you know, one of my local things is chemicals on Amazon. You know, they're not that expensive, and they show up on the porch the next day. So it's kind of a bonus for us to have that available. If you need a specialty one or you have a special bug you're trying to kill, you can look it up, do the research, find out the chemical you want, order it, and have it fairly quickly.
Wow, so you actually... But that's way beyond me. So you look at the fruit and see if there's a bug crawling on it or around it, and then zap the bug?
Yeah, it's called scouting.
Wow.
And you want to do that to keep up with what you have in your... Like I found eastern tent caterpillars on about a half a dozen of my trees, and then I had to use the chemical 7 to take care of them. But you have to scout the trees to find them so you can take care of them timely so they don't deforest the whole branch and, suck the nutrients out of the tree. And another one is Japanese beetles later on in the summer. You know, that's always an issue for me. But there's the codling moth in the month of May. You need to spray, I was spraying today. And the codling moth is the worm in the apple, which shows up in the fall. So you have to be active. Having fruit trees is kind of a big experience. There's lots involved.
Did you realize the work involved when you put all those trees in?
Well, I put the trees in, then I became a master gardener. to learn about what I knew I was short of knowledge. And then I became a master gardener. And now I'm president of Master Gardeners in Marshall County. So it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot, and I know what to need, and I can help others make that a lot simpler than it was for me at the time.
Now, had you known, if you knew then what you know now, would you still have done it?
Yeah, and I think I would have, because I retired, and I wanted something to keep me active. If you retire, sit in a chair and read a book and watch TV, you're not going to last that long.
Right.
So I decided to do something that gets me out in the sunshine, gets me, working. I don't go to an exercise center and do push-ups. I'd rather spray trees and fertilize and ride on the 4x4s and stuff, tractors and rototill, all those fun things you could do outside is what I'd like to do.
So now, what do you do with all? You must have a ton of bushels of apples every year.
Yeah, and I have lots of deers to help me with that. and relatives. And again, I'm developing markets so I can sell them at the farmer's market.
Okay.
And again, I'll be able to sell apples from August to November.
Wow.
And like you said, we planted pumpkins and gourds. And warty gourds and ugly pumpkins and nice pumpkins, and so we'd like to have a variety. And that's where the cranberries come in, is to kind of keep a full palette of food able to go to farmers markets and participate, eating healthy but helping others eat healthy as well.
Well, and you just mentioned something. You said ugly pumpkins. Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, well, there's ghost pumpkins and wart pumpkins and stackable flat pumpkins and white pumpkins. There's such a variety, and it's kind of neat to plant, like a few seeds of each and see what happens. And one year, one will do better than another. And
okay. It's something like that. You have to plant.
Yeah, I want that one.
And do you have to plant new pumpkin seeds every year? They just don't keep growing year after year, do they?
Every pumpkins. And my daughter lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and she had some pumpkins and giant sunflowers that worked out really well for her. And we're planting some of her seeds in our garden this year, and we share with Master Gardeners as well.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's got something special.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. But you are an unbelievably busy person. That's... You're probably busier now than when you were working, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's the intent. but I can always take a day off now. I don't have to go to work.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. You don't want to wish your life away, but it's really nice to get here.
So you're a master gardener. You went to Purdue, and Master Gardeners is kind of a program of Purdue. So do you help people that have crimson and white flowers, or are they off limits?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, I have a business degree from IU as well.
Okay.
So I have an engineering degree from Purdue and a master's degree at MBA from IU. I have a license plate that's a Purdue license plate with an IU license plate ring around it. So it's lots of conversations at the gas station and in parking lots.
So instead of a house divided, you're a man divided.
Yeah, and we have lots of fun with that.
That is, I can honestly say I've never seen a Purdue license plate or an IU license plate with a license plate holder of the opposite college or university. That's funny.
Yeah, so sometimes I have internal conflicts about what to do for situations. So the engineer always wants to solve something, and the businessman always wants to make a profit.
So. It sounds like a good, successful combination. There's no doubt about it. You've been listening to WVLP 103.1 FM. Sometimes we get caught up in a conversation and I forget to give the letters of the radio station. And we're sponsored today by the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, the Chequick Lodge number 56, which is in downtown Valparaiso. And we've got Harold Dietrich on. He is a member of the Odd Fellows, but he's from the Max and Cucky Lodge, which is in Culver. And we started the show today talking about a cruise and poker run on Saturday, June 17th, starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Time at the Max and Cucky Oddfellows Lodge, and it'll go 75 miles, which is kind of a lot, but pretty fun, to Rochester, Tippecanoe, Tyner, and then ends up in Knox, where there's going to be a free picnic, hamburgers, hot dogs, and other side dishes, of course, and some non-alcoholic beverages, so you can bring the family, bring whoever, and then they'll do their poker, figure out who wins the poker run, give prizes for that, bugs, who's got the most bugs under windshield, there'll be a prize for that, and then there's an entertainer, gentleman, that'll be some inspiration, some comedy, kind of sounds a little bit of everything, but it'll be a nice good day away, and hopefully it'll be a nice weather day, and it's a Father's Day weekend, but it's the Saturday of the Father's Day weekend, so a nice little weekend get together with Dad if you want. That sounds good.
Great. Well, I appreciate talking with you, Greg, and I'm kind of at the end of my journey.
Okay. All right. Well, Harold, thanks a lot, and take care, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, that was Harold Dietrich. He was our guest today on WVLP 103.1 FM, Porter County Buzz. He was a member of the Independent Order of Odd Fellows. He's a member of the Max and Cucky Lodge, which is in Culver. And we appreciated him giving us some insights as to being a master gardener, dealing with his trees and the cranberry field trip they've got going on in the fall in Michigan. So I guess if anyone didn't realize that cranberries were from our area, or there were any around our area. So that's kind of a neat thing to put on your calendar and maybe have a field trip on the weekend. But and then they've got the cruise and poker run, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is Greg Sims, flying solo today. The Andy Bozek had some other things going on, and he wasn't able to record with us today. But we'll talk about some other stuff. This past weekend, we had a nice bike giveaway in town at the Living Hope Church on Calumet. We gave away a lot of nice bicycles. And just to let you know, if you want to put it on the calendar, we're on June 10th. We're going to be doing it all over again from 9 to noon. And that's going to, again, Living Hope Church on Calumet Avenue across from Old Fairgrounds Park. If you need a bicycle, or if you know anybody that needs a bicycle, or if you need some minor repairs, bring it on by, and we're happy to help you out. And if we don't have a bicycle that fits you, or somebody that you know, then we'll get your name and number, and we'll do what we can to get one as quick as we possibly can. The bikes are used. Once in a while, we'll get somebody who has a new one that he never rode, but for the most part, these are used mechanically sound bicycles. Also, if you've got one available and you don't want to ride it anymore and you'd like to repurpose it, you're always welcome to come by and hang out with us, and because it's always kind of neat if somebody has a bike they want to give away and they give it away themselves. So you can be a part of this as well. It's a community helping the community event. I've always said pretty much every show I figure out a way to put it in that we've got the best, I believe, the best county in the state. And when things like this happen and other programs we got going on by other organizations, I know the Rotary, Kiwanis, the Odd Fellows, I know the Masons, the Legion, the VFW, all these wonderful organizations helping a whole bunch of people, and it's just neat to see. And then last weekend, too, we had the play at the Opera House, Nonsense. I hope you guys had a chance to go see it. It was hysterical. These very talented people coming to our area, and some of them are already from our area. So it's nice to see some local people having some fun on stage and entertaining a whole bunch of people in the audience. And places like the Opera House are always a very welcomed venue in any community. So it's nice that we've got one to call our own. And then, so let's see what else is going on. I know the community events stuff is right around the corner. We'll start seeing Central Park really come alive with the concerts and the market, farmers markets, those have started already. So get out there and enjoy a whole bunch of things going on in our community. We also have, you're always welcome to come by to the city council meetings. They have them on Mondays, and then county council meeting, the one will be this next, it's going on tonight. So if you're listening to this, you're missing the meeting, or catch us on a podcast, that always works as well. We'll go from there. So this is WVLP 103.1 FM, Porter County Buzz. One of your hosts tonight, actually your only host tonight, Greg Sims. And we have another guest. This is a cool two guests in one night. Who would have thunk it? But Sheila Paul, who you may remember that name from, she's been on before. She's one of our awesome guests that we've had. And we've always said we got to come back because there's always so much more to talk about. And you got something really exciting, something very new for our county. And not very many counties have something like this. And for those that didn't see the paper that were living in a bubble or a shell, what is it?
Yeah, so we're so excited to have a new mobile health clinic.
So what exactly does a mobile health clinic do?
Yeah, so our plan is to basically use this mobile health clinic as a third office. An office that can move around the county to all corners of the county to provide our services, whether that be lead testing, vaccinations, basically whatever we can do inside of our Valparaiso office or a Portage office, we can use this mobile health clinic out in the community. It is about 27 foot long. It has two offices kind of within it and a restroom. So we have kind of a receiving area with a blood draw chair, and then we have a full clinic room in the back. And the great thing about the restroom then is it allows us to do some necessary STI testing, allows us to use the facilities out in the public, wash hands. And we're just so excited to offer this to the community and really get out there and do the most we can.
So where's the, I know you had a ribbon cutting a few weeks ago, and so has this rig been out yet, or is it coming soon somewhere?
Sure. We took it out once to Valparaiso University. They requested that we bring it out to provide vaccines to their students. Other than that, we currently have it planned for the last Friday of every month with homeless outreach, and we'll be alternating between the library and Living Hope Church on Calumet, and we're doing that with the host team of Valparaiso.
When you say host team of Valparaiso, you mean the university?
No, it is a group that has been developed in Valparaiso, and it consists of the Porter County Sheriff's Office, Valparaiso Fire, Housing Opportunities, the Library, Porter Stark. Let me try to remember what the acronym is. It's Homeless Outreach Services Team.
So every time this rig goes out on this last Friday at either the library, you said, or the Living Hope Church, this whole team is going to be with you at the same time?
Yes, absolutely. And so really the goal, it's kind of twofold. One, it is to just reach out to this community, provide them with services. And it is the goal really is to provide different things that they may need, whether it's housing, whether it is medical care, whether it is mental health care, in a way that is easily approachable. And the goal really is to just help and do good within the community, all portions of Porter County community.
Well, now, will the, does Sam Burgett, is she part of that as well?
She is, yes.
Because she is our new Porter County social worker. We kind of stole her from the city of Valparaiso Police Department. But that's, you know, they'll get over it. So it's kind of like really like a dream team helping out people with needs.
I think so, absolutely. And really, you know, that's really what it's all about, right? It's all about combining our expertise, what we have to offer, and doing the most for the people we can in Porter County.
That's awesome. That is, see, again, I know I said this earlier, and I know you've heard me say it before, we got the best community and we got the best county in the state. And again, this is just another one of those easy things to say as to why we can puff our chests and say we're number one. That is so cool. So this thing, I imagine this rig is going to be at the county fair and some other places so people can take a peek at it. Or again, like you have some other things going on. Like might you be at the county market and do some testing there too? Or is it no, or?
Yeah. So, well, last year we went to the Valparaiso market and we set up underneath the pavilion out there. I don't know that we'll take this rig there because we'll have our building right across the street. Mm-hmm. But we do definitely, like you said, the fair. We're going to be out there every day of the fair. The community will have the opportunity to walk through it, take a look at it, learn about what we do. Because one thing we have realized is that a lot of people don't really know what the health department does and what we can offer the community. And so our hope is to really kind of expand that, allow people the opportunity to come take a look at us, see what we have to offer. And we hope to partner with a lot of different organizations within Porter County over the next few years and just, like I said, I sound like a broken record, but do the most good that we can for everybody. And that's everything from harm reduction and education and getting out into the schools. We really have some big things planned and a lot we want to do with everybody in the county.
So now with the schools, how are you going to get involved with the schools?
Mm-hmm. So we already have a couple of things that we're doing with the schools, and we just really want to expand on this. So one is every year we do go out to the schools and help provide back-to-school vaccinations, primarily for those entering into middle school and those entering into high school. So that's something we've already been doing. But now, in the last year, we have developed what we call the school liaison team. And that is working with the school nurses to help them with whatever they need. So this year, actually in 2022, we did a hygiene drive. And one thing we found through talking to the schools is that they really had a need to fill up their closets with different hygiene items, everything from shampoos to personal care items for females mm-hmm. to toothpaste and toothbrushes. And so we did a big drive to help them with that and stock those up. And that will be something we plan to do every year. But aside from that, you know, there are certain services that families need. For example, you know, head lice is one of those pesky things that, yeah. that yeah. you know,
I'm starting to scratch my head, by the way.
I know, you can't help it. You can't help it. but, you know, we were able to offer services to mm-hmm. some families who needed to go to the, I forget what it's called, but it's a company that basically helps you get rid of head lice on your person and within the whole family. And just little things like that that our school liaisons are able to do. Help develop communicable illness plans for the schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, besides schools, I mean, let's say there's a business in town, and I don't want to put words in here, but is this something where, you know, maybe a business says, hey, can you come by and maybe do vaccinations? Like, similar stuff that you do at the school at a big business, is that possible? Or, like, by the port when ships come in and stuff?
Well, so that's absolutely possible. And the more that we can get out in the community, the better. And if anybody has an idea, we are always willing to listen and try to find a way to make it work. We, you know, I kind of have a saying, and it's find a way to say yes. Okay. So, yeah, anything we can do. And, you know, we still have some limitations, I'm going to guess. But really, there's always a way to help the community and make it work.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I was kind of like hesitant on, I don't want to put, you know, more work on you. But if that's already in your kind of the plan when you got this thing, because I know it had a little bit of a price tag to it. But still, you use it and you get out in the community. It's money well spent. And that's the thing, that we've got a very good asset here. We've got great people behind it. And it's neat to see. What are some other Well, you'd mentioned, you know, helping with the hygienes and stuff. Is this something that maybe in the fall you collect coats and stuff, and this is a nice little, the rig sets up somewhere and people can drop off items? And I mean, because it seems go ahead.
The sky's the limit, honestly. Last year we did have a coat drive, coats, hats, and gloves drive in the winter because it was right after the new year. A couple of the schools reached out and said, hey, you know, we're really struggling here, you know, when it got really cold outside. And so we did a quick drive. We took about 2 weeks and delivered those items to all the schools who requested it, whatever we could. So that is something that we are all about, is helping to facilitate these different drives, whether it be hygiene, whether it be coats. We just did a canned food drive. Mm-hmm. We're going to be working with Memorial Opera House in the summer. They are also wanting to start finding ways to give back to the community more than they already do. And so Little Shop of Horrors. And so they are doing a blood drive and a canned food drive at the same time.
Are they going to have a big plant coming out of your
Not out of ours, but they will have a big plant. Yes, they will.
Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the Opera House. I saw Nonsense this past Saturday. What a fantastic performance. But they did something. I know you might find this hard to believe, but at the start of the production, I was in the lobby talking to people, and I missed some of the stuff they said. And one of the things they had said was they're going to have a collection, a donation for a charity. And I guess they've run for 3 weekends, and one weekend they collected money for St. Jude's House in Crown Point. And then another one they did it for VNA and the Boys and Girls Club. But part of the play, Nonsense, is it's nuns putting on a play or a musical as a fundraiser. So as part of the play, they send out these, like, baskets to collect money. And when I saw that, I'm like, what are people doing? Why are they giving money? It's like, I didn't get it because I was in the lobby talking with people before it started. But talking about giving back, I think when I was talking to Scott McDonald, the director of the Opera House, they had donated just shy of $8,000 they had collected to give back to these three organizations. So fantastic when we hear about about people in the community and organizations in the community giving back. And now you are every bit of, you were a part of that before, but now you're really going to be visible out in the community. And that's something special.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So I expect Halloween, you're going to be giving out some candy, right?
What did you say? We're going to give out candy?
No. Yeah, I did. But
we might give out some stickers and coloring books.
Oh, I know. I'm just teasing. But so where else? So is it going to start this? It's not this Friday. Is it a couple Fridays from now? Is it going to be the first time it gets out at the? Is it going to the library first, or does it go to both the library and the Unity Cafe, or the Living Hope Church?
It's the last Friday of the month, so that would be, I'm not quite sure the exact date, whatever the last Friday is, so next week.
Okay.
Correct?
And what are the times?
Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, is that this week? Let me look at a calendar, Greg. I don't want to say it wrong.
I've got nothing here around me, so I'm terrible.
Oh, you're right, it is, it's this Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's this Friday and just at Living Hope Church for this first week. And then the next Friday that we go out at the end of June will be at the library.
Oh, okay.
And, I'm so sorry. I don't know the exact time, but I believe it's at 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So it's because I know they do the Unity Cafe there. They give meals out at 5:30. So it sounds like you're going to be hitting it around when a lot of people are there for that event or that weekly occurrence. Okay.
Yep, that was the plan.
And then you'll stick around for like an hour and a half or 2 hours or?
It's an hour and a half, yes.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. So the whole Dream Team is going to be there ready to help people, whoever need it. And that's really cool. That's, you guys got some cool shirts, like some bright pink or some, man. You need some superhero. You need some superhero, like maybe with an S on in the front, you know, like a Superman with capes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We hadn't thought that far ahead. That's why we got you around.
Yeah. Come in front of the council and ask for some allocation of funds. We'll be happy to get you guys some costumes for the superheroes.
Costumes.
Yeah, you don't want to look like nurses and doctors. That's too boring. You know, you want to stand out a little bit. Oh, that is so funny. That's so cool, though. That is, I am very excited that you came on because that's some awesome stuff. So we got a scoop that people listening will know they can come by and check out the rig. And if they need help, it's going to be there Friday night at the Unity Cafe right across from Old Fairgrounds Park. On Calumet, on just north of Evans, and that's cool. That is, I know I'm going to be there, but that's really exciting. So, what? Anything else from the health department? We only have about another minute or so, so went fast.
Well, I would say honestly, we at the health department are really just trying to do everything we can to fill the community's needs. Be a partner, and like I said, just do everything we can to get out there and do the most good.
That's awesome. Well, you guys keep up the great work, and I know I will. Well, I know I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll probably see you again on Friday, but that's okay. It's all good. But we appreciate you spending time with us and giving us the big news and the big scoop about this awesome rig that people in the community will be seeing run around this summer and for many months and years to come. So,
absolutely.
That's cool. Well, again, this was Sheila Paul, and she is the, I'm going to screw this up, and I shouldn't. I want to say executive director, but that's probably the wrong verbiage.
I'm the administrator.
Okay. Well, if executive director sounds better, then hey, let's go for that. What the heck? I can't give you a raise, but I gave you a little title boost. How's that?
There we go. I'll take it.
All right. Well, Sheila, keep up the great work. We appreciate all you guys and your department does for the citizens of this wonderful county. And thanks again for being on our show, and we appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Take care. All right. So that was Sheila. We thank Sheila for being on. This is WVLP 103.1 FM, Porter County Buzz. One of your only hosts tonight, Greg Sims. I appreciate you spending some time with us, and have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thanks again. Bye.